Good morning. I'm going to share the word with you this morning. I'm excited about that. So thank you so much for coming. I know it's cold and it's holiday. Not for everybody, but for many people it's holiday time. So thanks for coming to church. It's awesome to just share a morning together as Christians. And the worship was so awesome. Where's Francois? Blessed. Thank you so much for all of you in the team this morning. Really is a blessing. We're really trusting God at this time and season for true riches in the church. We're really seeking more of God's presence. God is really working in both me and Andre, and I know in many of you, just not to be happy with the little bit that we've always known, or maybe we've known a lot in the past, but it's not there anymore. And I know we feel a stirring in the spirit where God just says, there's more, there's more, there's more, and seek after that. And but we also, God is really leading us to put almost like safety nets in place. That word Jimmy had, that picture he had, is so applicable also to what I want to share this morning and what Andre shared. Because if we want to have more of God, in that same time, the devil can so easily come and steal what is precious and what is special. And you know, I went back to the book of Acts, and I just went through a few scriptures there in Acts to see what the church in Acts, what did they have? Because it was the first church, it was the beginning of something really special, and they had a secret that they had a secret, and I just want to take you to a scripture in Acts 4, verse 32 and 33. I believe they had a key to God's power and to God's presence, a unique key. And obviously it was the Holy Spirit, and as a church we are familiar with the Holy Spirit, but I believe they had so much more, and that allowed them to enter deeper into the things of God. I'll read that now, but what I believe that one thing that they had was that they were not attached to the things of this world. They were not attached. And I think for us as a church, you know, you are a very talented group of people. I know everybody isn't here this morning, but I will look very hard and far to find such a talented group of people together in one church, really. And but I think the danger for us with all our degrees and all our fancy everything, you know, is that we can get very attached because we like nice things. Okay, we like nice things and we are used to nice things around us, and we can get very attached to that, and that can actually keep us from that true riches that we feel that we should pursue. Acts 4, let me read this. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. They were not attached. Oh, this is my car. Oh, this is my golf set. Oh, this is my surfboard. Okay, what else do you like? whatever is precious to you, our cars. Okay, I know all our cars are very special to us. But they were not. They were very easy to say, okay, let's just borrow my car, for example, because they were not attached. They had all things in common. Let me take you to a scripture in Luke. Can't have my beginning. Sorry. Luke 16, verse 10 and 11. It says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. Thank you, my little word. It was just a break advert. He is faithful in what is least is also faithful in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in what is much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And this is the scripture I want to focus on this morning. If you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you, to your trust, the true riches? And true riches is not money. It's not money. It's everything actually we've spoken about this morning. Relationships that work, abundance that Rayvon spoke about, abundance, peace, joy, fulfillment, having a purpose in life. All those things are true riches, and it cannot compare. Money cannot compare to that. And both Andre and I really experienced the last month or two a few tests in terms of money, in terms of honoring our leaders, in terms of submitting to our leaders. And it's like a very subtle, it's almost as if the devil in a very subtle way wants to tempt our hearts, wants to pull us away, or wants to put a trap out there and see, are we going to take it or not? Are we going to go the quick way? Are we going to go God's way? Or are we? And it's not necessarily anything big. It's small things. It's small things. It's almost so small that if you do it or don't do it, you're not really going to think it's a big sin, if you understand what I mean. It's so subtle. And I just said to Andre the one day, something had happened. This is our test. We spoke about a principle the one week, the next week, that exact principle was tested. And I said to him, this is our test. And we could have very easily said to each other, but oh, it was a casual conversation. It wasn't minuted. You know, it wasn't a formal meeting. And can't we just change the numbers? Or can't we just change the policy? Or can't we just a little bit, you know, go back to what we decided? And I just said to him, this is our test. And we've just been tested in a couple of areas. And I know if we are tested, you will be tested, or you are being tested. And, you know, I can tell you many stories of amazing men and women of God who had big churches, who were really going for God. But somewhere along the line, between power, you know, sex, power, and money, they go together. Between those three things, their hearts were somehow corrupted. And it's never a big thing, you know. The devil is not going to knock on your door and say, here I am, you know. I tempt you, here I am, follow me. No, it's like subtle, small decisions we make. And depending on what road we take, it's a slow, slow road to the wrong direction. And this is why Andre also said this morning, accountability in this time is really, really important. It's not an option. It's actually very important to stay on the right road. Matthew 5 verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And it's really something that God is just laying on our hearts now all the time. Purity, holiness. The pure in heart will see God. And you know, Andre and I often speak about it, but 50 years from now, 50 years from now, we're in our 80s, okay? We still want to be married. We still want to serve God. And we want Shafa East London to go strong, to still exist, and to go strong. Whether we are here or not, it's not the point. But we don't want to become another statistic of a church or a pastor's couple that, you know, has lost it somewhere. We don't. We really want to serve God until we die and until Jesus comes back. And it is possible. It is really possible. The Bible is full of guidelines. God's grace is sufficient. We just need to walk in obedience to what God has called us to do. Amen. So this is why I'm going to talk about certain things this morning that might be a little bit, you know, some things a little bit maybe controversial for some of you, but we just feel we need safety nets in place. Exactly that picture Jimmy saw was so applicable also to what I want to share with you this morning. So let's talk about the desire to be rich. We feel in our hearts God wants us to pursue true riches in the church. So what then, if you get something true, you also get something false. So what is false riches then? I'm going to take you to a scripture in 1 Timothy 6. I never thought I would ever use this in church. But today is the day. God led me to the scripture, so I want you to have a look. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9 to 10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. That's quite a hectic scripture. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Okay, money isn't the issue here. It's the love of money, okay? So don't worry. Money is not the problem. It is our hearts. It is our heart that actually turns away from the Lord when it comes to money. So the richest person in the world can have no problem with money. And the poorest person can actually have a problem with money. So it's not about how much you have. It's about what is going on in your heart that can make us fall into temptation, that can drown us in destruction and perdition, and that can pierce ourselves through with many sorrows. We actually do it to ourselves. We pierce ourselves through with many sorrows. So I just want to do a quick test. You don't have to raise your hands or anything, so don't worry. There's a couple of things that's an indication about pursuing false riches in our lives. It's very practical, so I'm just going to take you through a few. If you worry, if you're anxious and worried about money all the time, so there's not a trust in the Lord, you lie awake about money all the time, it's an indication of actually putting your trust in money. Okay, that's the first one. Second one, impulsive buying. So there's no self-control. I remember Andre and I, when we got married, we had nothing. Okay, I lie not. We had nothing. We had nothing new. Let me put it that way. We had a fridge that I bought for 100 rand from a friend. It was falling apart. We borrowed his sister's bed. We didn't even have our own bed. Okay, but this is the bed story I want to get to now. So after a while, I said to him, it's really time for our own bed. Really time. It wasn't a good bed. Like the springs was in my ribs. It wasn't comfortable, okay? I said to him, it's time. But we made a decision just before that. We're not going to buy anything on credit. We're not going to just use our credit card and then pay it off later. And we're not going to buy, like just walk into a shop and buy. Unless it's a Kit Kat or something. Kit Kat's fine. But not a big thing, okay? And so 2 months from then, we would have had the money, okay? We did our calculations. 2 months from then, we would have had money. So we decided one day we're just going to walk into Dial-A-Bed and, you know, just see. Okay, so just picture us in Dial-A-Bed. If you ever try to buy a bed, it's really difficult. Nobody knows on which bed they sleep. They can go and check the label. This is what people say. I can go check. I can, like, take everything off and check the label, but I have no idea. Maybe the newly married people know on what bed they sleep. But nobody can help you. It's not like a BMW or a Corsair or a Opel or Fox, you know. It's not Toyota or anything like that. A bed is funny names. Nobody knows. In any case, we're in Dial-A-Bed. Now we're lying on the bed, feeling the two of us. And like any good sales lady, there was a girl and she actually talked us into buying a bed. Okay, we compromised on our not buying on credit, we compromised on impulsive buying, we compromised on everything because she was just so good I couldn't believe, I still can't believe we did it. But you know, the one thing she said, and I think that was the line that she got us to make this decision. She said, you can sleep on the bed for 7 days and then bring it back. I thought, wow, that is, I've never heard this before. So we took this bed. The moment the bed arrived in our house, they delivered it, I felt an uneasiness. I can't explain it to you. The bed stood there. I haven't even slept on it one night. I looked at it, and I felt uneasy. We slept on it. Both of us, we didn't talk to each other, okay? But we both knew it was the wrong decision. Now, for us, at that stage, it was a lot of money. I think it was 3,000 rand or something. For us, it was like huge. I mean, you don't make a mistake with that kind of money at that stage in our lives. We slept on the bed for 7 days. It was too high. It was too soft. It was wrong. And we had 7 days, remember, to sleep on this thing, and we could return it. So 7 days later, we bought it on this Saturday. 7 days later, it was another Saturday. We visited friends in Simonstown. And like late that night, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, I actually have in my head 10 o'clock, but let's make it between 8 and 10, okay? We were in bed, on our way to sleep. I said to Andrea, I need to talk to you about something, because I know our time is running out. It's like 12 o'clock tonight is now the deadline. I said to him, I don't have peace about the bed. He looked at me, what? Why don't you now only tell me that you don't have peace? I said to him, well, I don't have peace. He said to me, he doesn't have peace either. In any case, I said to him, we must phone now. Dial a bed, you can phone. It's still like that, 24-hour thing. At that stage, we could have phoned him 2 o'clock in the morning, I think. He phoned, and the exact same lady who sold us the bed answered the phone. Can you believe it? We explained to her, no, we've made a mistake. You know, but I think what she meant by we can bring it back is we should actually take another bed, not bring it back. Like, and we explained to her, no bed for us. We're not taking any other bed. So it was this big thing. No, you can't really just bring it back. You must swap it for another one. Andre just said, no bed. So we slept on the floor because the bed we borrowed from his sister was this thing that you had to... Opslaan amper. It's like this bed. It's not just a base. It's this thing with a plank and whatever. So we slept. It was too much of an effort, okay? We slept on the floor, on the mattress, for another 2 or 3 months. Then we bought the bed we still sleep on today. In any case, that's impulsive buying. Please don't go there. I know many of you have stories, techies. I know how many techies you buy, and then after 2 weeks you realize, oh, this is the wrong thing. Don't go there. If you are impulsive buyer, constantly impulsive buyer, it's a sign. Okay, it's a sign that you're following, it's something in your heart that follows after false riches. Discontentment, you're always unhappy. You're always unhappy or dissatisfied about your income, your possessions, your car, everything. I remember one of the article clerks said to me, I think he was 30 of articles. At that stage, I was a senior manager at PwC. I was driving an Opel Corsa. It wasn't a light. It was a 130i, okay? But it was, in everybody's opinion, it was like Opel Corsa light. They often made jokes about my car. He said to me, Sonika, you can't drive in this car. It's an embarrassment to the company. I said, I just laughed. Because for him, it was now, he drove a new Opel Astra, a black Opel Astra with all these OPC, I don't know, whatever on the back. He said to me, if you buy yourself a new car, just make sure it's the right one. Because any new car is not going to do it. It must be a specific thing. You know, and I just laughed, and I just realized, there's just such an attack almost on our hearts, because there's always, especially in the world where I worked, You know, when I studied, even people already started talking about the cars they're going to drive. That was the only thing they could talk about. One day I'm going to drive this car. I mean, they haven't even passed the exams yet. But, you know, the money is the big thing. And I just realized, I never want to be there. I never want to live like that. If you battle to give or to share, a stinginess in your heart, that could be an indication. Greed, wanting more of what you already have. We always want to upgrade, always want to upgrade. There's like this greediness in you. You have already 20 pairs of shoes, but no, you need another 5. Okay? Because it's just you have, but there's something in you that you just need. You create this need in you to have more. Mishandling of debt, it could also be a sign. Debt also could also be a big thing. So all of us have a certain degree of pursuing false riches. Okay? It's in all of us, and it's a journey to get free from that. It's a journey. It's a journey, and God is the only one who can help us to turn our hearts from that and help us not to fall into something that can be to our destruction, like 1 Timothy 6 explains. So I just want to take you to through a few safety nets not to fall into temptation. It's going to be really practical. So I just want to show you a few things that God showed me through the years that really helped me to get free from all of these, you know, discontentment and impulsive buying, all of those things. The first one, the very non-spiritual one, is budgeting. Okay, you never thought you're going to hear the word budgeting in church. But today you hear it, okay? I wish I can teach all of you to budget. I know for some of you think, oh, Sonika, please, please, just get away from me. Stay away from me. Budgeting is a huge blessing. If you find a way that works for you, everything, my way is not going to work for everybody. But we did a financial seminar last year where I did a session on budgeting and I did a session on debt. The dangers of debt and how to get rid of it. And we have more CDs. It's at the back. If you want, if you're interested in that and you haven't heard it, just grab one of the CDs. It's also good books that you can also just take. Okay, there's about 15. So if you haven't heard it, please do yourself a favor and just take one and listen to that. You know, it's just an amazing blessing to be married and never fight over money. Andre and I never fight. Obviously, the first year or two or three, we had to work through things. You have to learn how to do money and finances together. It's a big thing for many couples. But where we are now, we never, I promise you, we never have a fight over money. It's the most amazing, amazing place to be in. And the biggest reason for that is we have our budget, we have agreement on that, and within that, there's a lot of variances and things, but within that, both of us can swipe cards, do things, and we know exactly where we stand with each other. It's just so awesome. Okay, and I wish, and I really pray that for every individual, for every couple, not to stress about money, but actually have abundance. Not in terms of how much you earn, but abundance just in terms of how you manage and how you work with it so that God can bless you. The second thing that's a safety net is seeking first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We all know the scripture. We all know it. But when it comes to seeking first the kingdom of God, it doesn't mean all of us must be a missionary or a pastor. It's not what that says. It's something in our hearts that seek after God, that seek after the Lord, that allow God to make decisions and not money, for example, or people or circumstances. You know, when I joined Andre 2.5 years ago, in full-time ministry, it was a bad financial decision, okay? It was a bad financial decision. I can earn a lot of money. Okay, I can earn lots of money as a chartered accountant. We can drive very smart cars. We can if I stayed there where I was. And what God has given me, I just want to give God all the glory, because I didn't give anything up. I didn't give anything up. I have received more than I can ever tell you. I can keep you busy for an hour with just everything I've received because I joined Andre. And just the blessing we experience, and just so many things. It's such an honor. It's such a privilege for me to work with him. It's such a privilege for me to do this, what I do now. And compared to the money that we lose, there's just no comparison. And I just want to encourage you this morning. If you're in a position where you must decide between two jobs, and the one is the better salary, the better all the benefits and everything, and the other one is the one where you have peace, where you know this is the one God wants you to take, please don't compromise on that peace in your heart. Please. This is exactly what 1 Timothy 6 talk about, is you can pierce yourself through with many sorrows. You can fall into temptation and a snare, because it's not a big sin to choose between two jobs and to choose the one with the biggest salary. I mean, it's not a sin. It doesn't feel like a sin. I mean, but you will know. If you follow God, you will know. And if you deliberately go against that peace and that still small voice that tells you to take the other one, you set yourself up for sorrow. Okay, this is the peace of God, and the still small voice in our heart is our safety net, that seeking after the Lord. I can't explain to you how happy I am with what I do now. I worked for 11 years as an accountant. It was a good 11 years. It was challenging, but it was great. But that was my season. My season is now different. And you need to determine, together with God, and if you're married, together with your spouse, what is God's will? What is God's will for you as an individual, as a couple? I have so much respect for people who can go overseas and earn a lot of money and who tell me, we're not going because we don't have peace. We don't have peace. God is leading us differently. I have so much respect for that. Okay? Don't chase after false riches, because somewhere, it's gonna bite you. It's gonna bite you. And I can just testify how God blesses us. Even financially, how he blesses us. And how much quality of life and peace and joy and fulfillment and purpose and so many things we have. Even though we made a bad financial decision. I mean, many people thought I was crazy. I had a good job. I had a really good job. The people were very good to me here in East London and in Stellenbosch. It all looked really good. It looked almost like wrong not to resign. Even I thought, Lord, they're so good to me. I can't resign. They're so good to me. And I just knew. I knew it's the right thing to do. So I just want to encourage you. Seeking first the kingdom of God is freedom. It's liberty. It's the will of God is the best place ever. So just follow that with all of your heart. Then let's just talk about giving. There's different ways that we can give. Acts 20 verse 35 says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And that word blessed in that scripture means empower to prosper. Empower to prosper. So you're more empowered to prosper when you give than when you receive. It doesn't make sense in the natural. It doesn't make sense with our brains, because how can it be more blessed to give than to receive? I mean, it's great to receive. I mean, think about your birthday and all the presents. It's awesome to receive. So if receiving is great, And the Bible says giving is greater, more blessed. Then there's something about giving, even though we can't figure it out, that is actually more blessed than receiving. And what I've experienced is I only experienced that blessing once I started giving. It doesn't make sense when it's just a cold statement. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Really? It doesn't make sense when it's just a scripture on its own there. Yeah, then the good Christians and all of us who are really good and want to serve God say, yeah, it's more blessed to give than to receive. But we don't really believe it. And let me tell you, the first couple of times that you give, it takes a bit out of you. There were certain times in my life where I felt God wanted me to give. It scared me. It depressed me. I wasn't a joyful giver. You know, I can tell you many stories, and I don't have time for that this morning, but many stories of saving money up to a point for something, and then God tells me to give it away. The one time I was depressed for weeks. For weeks. But when I did it, it was literally as if something in my heart, it was as if God did an operation in my heart, like surgery, and He changed something. And you only click that, you only grasp it when you start giving. And that is what the Bible talks about. First of all, I'm just going to talk about three kinds of giving quickly. Tithing is a big one. Always questions about tithing, gross or net. You know, there's always lots of questions. And, you know, the same when it comes to creation, evolution, that Andre did an awesome, awesome couple of weeks on. There's really answers in the Bible. There are proper explanations for why it is good to tithe, why it's biblical. But in the end, what I've seen is it is a hard thing. Giving is a hard thing. It's the same with creation, evolution. If you want to believe in evolution, all the facts, all the arguments, everything is not going to convince you that creation is real. It's the same when it comes to giving. If you're convinced that you don't have to give, or you're convinced that it's fine not to tithe or to give, it's going to be really hard to convince you why it's right. So I'm not going to try and convince you this morning. I pray that God will really change your heart in a very unique way, because we've experienced abundance and blessing since we started giving. It's just, you can't explain it to somebody who's not there. You can't explain, it's like being married and not married, you know? You know, just don't, you always wonder, how does it feel to be married? And now you're married, and now it's like, this is just normal. This is life. I can't imagine myself ever being single. No, it's the same with giving. If you start getting into the habit of giving, it becomes part of your life. And you experience the blessing of God, but it's difficult to explain to somebody who's not giving that this is actually blessed and awesome. You know, and we honor God by bringing our tithes, not just anywhere, but to bring it to the storehouse, which is your local church where you get your spiritual food. Okay, this is also sometimes big questions around that. But I know many people feel they can't give to the church because they don't know what the church does with the money. And maybe they're going to waste it. I can't waste my money. No. I'm rather going to give it somewhere else where I know what they do. And I just want to encourage you this morning. We need to let go. We have to let go of that control, because it doesn't belong to us. Okay, the tithe is consecrated and holy unto the Lord. And I want to encourage you, if you still battle with many questions, take it to God. Say, Lord, I battle with this. Should I really bring my tithe to the storehouse? Can't I just give it to the missionary in India? Should I really? God, I don't. I battle with this. Take it to the Lord. Take it to God. Okay, in all sincerity, take it to the Lord. You know, when it comes to marriage, the Bible says Andre should respect me. And the Bible says, oh, my word, the wrong way around. Donkey, Stephen. The rest were too nervous to laugh because they I must respect my husband, okay? I'm the one who should do the respecting. He, Andre should love me according to the Bible, you know, as Jesus loves the church. Now, I can't say, he's not loving, he doesn't love me, so I'm not going to respect him. No ways. He doesn't love me. I am accountable to God for respecting him. You know, God will hold me accountable for respecting my husband. It's whether Andre loves me or not. It's got nothing to do with me. And he will be held responsible for loving me. So if I don't respect him, but he still loves me, he's fine with God. Okay, when it comes to tithing, we can't say, we're not going to bring the tithe to the storehouse because the church wastes my money. The church is responsible before God. You know, what we do with everything that you give, and I want to honor you for all of you who give faithfully. I know God knows what you give. God sees. And if we are irresponsible, if there's any corruption, God will expose it. God will expose it, and we will stand before God. Okay? It's a huge responsibility, and we don't take it lightly. But each of us as an individual will be held responsible for what we do with the money. So you can't, it's a separate thing. It's a separate thing. As individuals, we will stand accountable before God. As a church, we will stand accountable before God. Amen? And I just want to assure you, there's lots of accountability in the Shofar group. Lots of accountability. All the bookkeeping is done in Stellenbosch. They determine our salaries. I mean, Andre and I just earn about like 3 million a year. Okay, it's just small change. And it's all determined by Stellenbosch. We don't even determine that. I mean, the 3 million, they've decided we're going to earn 3 million. That's a joke, okay? I don't know. If I earn 3 million a month, imagine. A year. Andre will know exactly, you know, my husband has big, big dreams. I don't even know what I'll do with it. I promise you, I don't know what I'll do with all the money. I'll probably just give it away. Yeah. So there's lots of accountability. We have a finance board. We have a finance board in church. We had a meeting this past Monday. Great meeting. People that see all the numbers, okay? They see the whole budget, they see the income. We're accountable, we really are accountable. And this is a safe place. So for those of you who feel a little bit anxious about that, I just want to reassure you, it's really a safe place. We're not one church that operates in isolation. We are a group, and there's lots of accountability in the group. Okay, so I just wanted to say that. Then, just quickly, offering. If tithing has never been an issue for me. What when it comes to giving over and above my tithe? Okay, maybe some of you think, what? Is there something like that? I thought tithing is it. The rest is mine, obviously. The 90%, God, just please leave the 90. I've given my 10, Lord, please just allow me to do with the 90 what I want. You know, I was there at a stage. I thought, if I just give my tithe, then the 90 is mine. You know, I almost got a little bit anxious about God. Please just leave it alone. I've done my bit now. You know, let me shock you this morning. Everything belongs to God. And the sooner and the quicker we get there, the easier life becomes as a Christian. The freer you become, and there's just so much liberty and freedom when you realize everything belongs to God. But he's our daddy, so he wants to spoil us. He wants to bless us. He wants to just look after you, okay? But the sooner we give it all back to him, the sooner we are free, completely free. It's an amazing place to be. And I just want to take you to one scripture. I'm almost finished. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. It says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." This scripture changed my life. When I started purposing in my heart to give. So the way we do it is we look at our budget and we say, okay, God, what do you want us to give? I'm not talking about tithing now. The tithe belongs to God. It's the first line on our budget. It's gone. We don't think about it, okay? Now the rest, now there's 90% left. God, how do you want us to spend the 90? Because it eventually all belongs to God. Then we say, okay, God, how much do you want us to give from the 90? And we say, okay, we must give 100 rand per month. We're going to give that. So what we do, we decide on the amount. Every time there's a difference in our, when there's a salary increase or anything, we reevaluate, and then we put it aside. You can put it in an envelope, you can put it in a separate bank account, you can do whatever works for you. And then when the opportunity comes to give, the money is there. You've already purposed in your heart. So even though it's still in your bank account, you've let go about the money. You've let go. So for me, it was a huge relief, because every now and again there's this request for extra or for giving or for money, and that I get all tens. It's not in our budget, you know. It's like, no, but where is the money going to come from? I can't just, you know, it's not going to fall out of the air. It's going to, if I give, then somewhere in my things are not going to balance. Okay, this is now my left brain working overtime. So what we did, it made life so much easier for me. I just said, okay, God, I want to give. I'm going to put it in my budget. I'm going to set it aside. And if there's an opportunity, there's money to give. And sometimes we don't give. You know, there was a stage where we had dedicated things that we gave money to, like organizations or things. Sometimes God just leads us to let it, to put it away. And then whenever there's a random opportunity, we have money to give. It changed my life. There's no stress. There's no fear. That pot is always full. I mean, we give. Every now and again, we give. Yeah, we can give. There's a pot full of money. It's amazing. It is really amazing. When I started doing that for the first time in my life, I could give. I'm not talking about tithing. I could give joyfully over and above my tithe, because I let go of the money long before I give it away. I just say, God, it's not mine. I put it aside. It changed my life. So give it a try. Speak to God, give it a try, but it's really awesome. And then I just want to quickly show you these brochures. Very exciting. These are just all the projects. There should be hopefully one for each one. Just find one for yourself. It's projects we have in Shofar. The one is called Prochorus. You can go through it. I don't have time now to go through it. Prochorus, there's Keep Where Kids, where we look after AIDS orphans. There's Breaching Abilities, a ministry for people with physical and intellectual disabilities. There's Relief Life whenever there's a disaster somewhere in the world. We can support them. There's Inspire to Become, and there's the STI. It's the theological school that we've spoken about in the past. This is really amazing. And I just want to make you aware of what we do in Shofar. We really want to bring that to the Eastern Cape. That is the idea. All these ministries, we want to duplicate in the Eastern Cape. We don't have it here yet, but I want to ask you to start praying with us for God's timing, for his provision, and just for whatever God wants to do when. But these are Shofar projects that's currently running in the rest of the country. And if you have a heart maybe for one of them, just start praying with us, okay, for when God wants to do that here in East London or in the Eastern Cape. I'm really excited. If I look at this, I'm just, wow, God, when are we do this in the Eastern Cape? So just join us in prayer for that. Okay. And then, just in closing, you know, if we are faithful in unrighteous mammon, it is just, God can give us true riches. If we show to God, Lord, we're not attached. We're not going to let money make a decision on behalf of us. We're going to follow you. There's something, there's a partnership with God that can happen. And, you know, And when I really experience God's blessing, even though, like I say, joining him in ministry was a bad financial decision, the other day we went to the Wimpy. We had a meal. And when we wanted to pay, the waiter said to us, no, there was somebody sitting there in the corner, and the person paid for your meal. We like looked at each other. What? I mean, it has never happened before, okay? It's not as if something happens every week. We thought, what? I can't believe it. It's just like a wimpy meal, maybe, what, 80 rand? I don't know. I can't even remember, 100 rand. And we just said, God, this is you. This is just you showing that you love us, that you... It's like a daddy spoiling his children, you know? And I just want to encourage you. God is much bigger than all the money in the whole world. He's much bigger than your greatest desire. He's much bigger than that. He knows you. He created you. And the best place for us is right in God's will. And that is when we really start to experience true riches. And where our heart is not attached. So that we can follow God with all of our hearts and just experience that truth, you know, that's not found in material things.